It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my guest tonight, Mike Fouché, is the man behind AlderTrack.com, a subscription newsletter that services, it covers all things Chicago and Springfield related. Mike, good to see you.
Great to be here.
A lot to talk about today. Obviously, the President of the United States comes back to Illinois, a homecoming of sorts, to try out some new material.
That's right.
He did feel like it was like when we always hear Amy Schumer's in town to try out some stuff.
And there's
Right. That's kind of the vibe this speech had, where he's like trying some jokes out.
Right. Boy, did they work. I mean, you know, the thing was, so the speech was about an hour long, and you could watch it online, which I did because I didn't go to Springfield today. And the thing is that, you know, essentially you got the feeling of this guy going into this thick soup that, you know, and he doesn't really have anything that he can do about it.
Yeah, even as the President of the United States, and there was respect for him, and, you know, General Assembly tried their best to act like it was a State of the Union. Like
they
this,
did.
And you're just like, no.
They so badly
even he was like, no, guys, it's not
Union.
That kind of speech. Right, like, sit down.
You haven't made it, guys. You're still in Springfield.
Seriously, don't applaud too much. Sit down.
Yeah, it's done.
But, you know, it was a great message of civility and sort of the idea of bipartisanship. And it was kind of interesting to say, this is the President of the United States to come in and make a speech like this, to sort of a compassionate speech that plays to the idea that politics is compromised. And when you don't do that, the people that you serve are the people who are being affected.
And that was awesome. He said, you know, you don't always have to be with your party. And then Ken Duncan, Mr. Not Always With His Party, the state rep from the Near West Side.
He goes,
yes! And then President Obama says, hey, I'll talk to you later, Duncan. So, I mean, he's contradicting himself.
Right.
You know, I think that there's just way, way too many landmines in this whole thing for the Barack Obama magic in order to just solve all of our problems. Little Brock dust.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, I don't think obviously the state of Illinois and city of Chicago were paying attention, but the rest of the country is not paying attention to the speech at the General Assembly,
it's
over.
Zero national press.
Yeah, zero. So let's move on, because one of the things that was happening while the president was downstate, there was a city council, there was movement in the Chicago
packed
city council,
packed
to the gills, but it really was kind of in the shadow of what the president was doing. But some big ticket items, including the move to
so there were three big things that were supposed to come up today. Yeah. You know, one was that there was potentially going to be a vote on whether or not they were going to authorize $200 million for toxic swap bonds, to pay off some bonds. And that was postponed from last week. And it was on the agenda, or from last month. It was on the agenda, and at the last minute, it was held to next month.
That's a big issue, and we've heard the Chicago Teachers Union and other people talking about the idea of these toxic swaps and why we're in so much debt. And it seemed like there was some movement to sort of at least address that, but it keeps getting tabled.
Well, and the issue is that there are a growing number of aldermen that think that the city of Chicago should really be suing the banks rather than paying them. And the mayor's team has said, well, you know, we haven't seen a way in which you could win a lawsuit. And there's actually now a resolution that's winding through city council that would force the city to pursue a legal route. So I think that's definitely having some
interesting
pressure.
Don't you find that interesting? Because the mayor himself was an investment banker. The governor is big into finance, in his work.
Yep.
It seems like it's almost like the byproduct of the constituency to say, we're going to vote these guys in because they're big business guys and they can deal with the trappings of big business and help us when we need to. And yet neither of them are stepping forward to say, you know what, we need to strike back on these banks because we're talking millions of dollars we paid out to Bank of America.
$200 million in this case, yes. So that was postponed. The second thing was that the mayor this week began to try and move this tiny little $6 million tax on cigars, cigarillos, and small cigarettes, loose tobacco. And the amount of pushback that from across the spectrum of aldermen on this tax has been intense. And the argument from a lot of aldermen is, well, you know, what you're doing is you're creating this tax on things that basically keeps a lot of stores open, these small ma and pa kind of shops. These kind of sales is what keeps them going. And then there were others, that, actually some that in high crime neighborhoods that said, well, you know, I know people that actually sell these things illegally and they do it because it's a better deal than selling drugs.
Right.
Which is a legitimate argument, I suppose, in a black market kind of way.
Yeah, argument, right.
And there was an enormous amount of pushback against it. Huh. And also a lot of suspicion that the money that would be raised would actually just be going to prop up CPS rather than actual smoking cessation programs because it wasn't channeled in the right way. And they attempted to move it with some different things that say, yes, it will actually go to smoking cessation programs, but... Then there was a group of aldermen that used a parliamentary maneuver in order to shut it down and postpone it for another month, which is stunning. And the reason why it's stunning is that it to have a pair of aldermen that aren't part of the leadership, that aren't part of the big dogs, to move something, a parliamentary maneuver in order to shut down a mayoral priority.
It's unheard of.
Unheard of.
Yeah, could you imagine? I mean, you wouldn't even make the papers. It wouldn't even be a story.
It's incredible that a $6 million tax was stymied. So then the third thing that was supposed to happen today was addressing there's a bill to give the city inspector general oversight over city council.
Now, the backstory in this, if you can give the quick backstory on inspector, like the maze of what has been the inspector general's.
There was a legislative inspector general for a while who turned out to be kind of a dog.
Right.
He took a lot of money. He didn't do a lot of work.
He wanted
Nobody
more
really
money.
Trusted him.
Right.
He wanted more money. He wasn't doing much of a job. It was separate from the city inspector general. So they let that contract lapse. That guy's gone now. He's been complaining a lot, but he's gone. And now
Faisal Khan.
Yeah. And so now they're talking about folding the duties of the legislative inspector general and giving them more to the regular city inspector general.
Who is Ferguson, right?
Yes, still, Joe Ferguson. Yeah, yep. And so the holdup has been, well, if you were going to have an inspector general that would be investigating city council, that means that they could look into all different kinds of legislative things that are done. And there are some deals, in particular for some of the more powerful committees like the Budget Committee and the Finance Committee.
Alderman Ed Burke, run by Kerry Austin.
And so there was a movement in the last council meeting. They were going to have a vote. There's a majority of aldermen. They're ready to vote for this ordinance. And then all of a sudden, they use the same parliamentary procedure. Some of the big dogs use the same parliamentary procedure they used on the tobacco tax to delay it for a month. So here it was. It was ready for a vote today. And so they came up with a substitute ordinance, which is a replacement, a substitute ordinance that had some changes. And the changes specifically would eliminate some of the inspector general's powers to investigate these committees like finance and budget committee.
So essentially they took it off the table and said, you know what, we really can't have an inspector general inspect everything.
Which is
ludicrous.
Right.
And then the powers put it back in and the aldermen voted against it.
Well, and last night there was frantic. We talked to a number of aldermen. There were frantic phone calls. All the aldermen were lobbying each other, you know, trying to get one another. And so when it came down for a vote on the substitution, the weakened version, it was a very, very close vote. It was 25 that voted for the weakened version and 23 that voted against. That is an incredibly close vote. I mean, that's sort of a
vote. So what happens now?
So then the weakened version, then everybody voted on it, and so now there's a weakened version.
So the weekend version passed.
Weekend,
oh, I see.
The weekend, not strong.
Right.
So
what are we doing?
So now we have a new powers to the inspector general who can investigate aldermen, who can look into things, and they don't have to have somebody come to them and say there's a problem. The inspector general can start looking all on their own, but they can't look into things like, well, how many people work in the finance committee? You know, what sort of deals have been done?
Mike, you know, and I'm just trying to represent the people of Chicago and the state of Illinois as
Thank
best
you.
I can.
We're grateful.
I'm not a great person to do that. But, you know, it seems like when we hear about transparency or we hear about rooting out corruption in government, we talk about the idea of giving legislative or investigative powers or inspection powers. But it always seems like at the last minute, politicians cover their ass. And this is what it is, right? I mean, it seems to me like
sarcastic laughter.
I don't understand how that is accepted. I guess how is that accepted that they can make a weakened version that essentially eliminates the ability for an investigator to look at them? Does that make sense?
It's because I said this last week, is that politicians know that voters' memories are like mayflies and that voters will forget. And they won't remember these things, and they'll move on. You know, AlderTrack, we have already tweeted out how everybody voted. We're going to have a complete breakdown in tomorrow's report, which, by the way, AlderTrack is free this week and next, aldertrack.com/free. We're going to have a complete vote on how everybody voted on the tobacco tax and finance committee. So, you know, if you really want to know and you want to get informed, hey, you know, read about it. But then you got to remember, come voting time.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We come back. Mike Fouché, AlderTrack.com, in studio with us. Let's talk about the schools. The principals got their budget cuts.
My school got their cut.
So we'll talk about that and whether or not that's a reality, if that's going to happen. And we'll talk more with Mike when we come back. Stay with us. Yeah.
Speaking of weekend.
It's a download here on WGN. That's right. Beats by Zim. He's you can see him here on the download through the webcam, and then on weekends at Circus.
At Circus.
That's where
Bill Dick got started. That's awesome.
Mike Fouché, my guest tonight from AlderTrack, which is free this week and next
week. That's right.
Subscription newsletter covering all things Chicago politics. Let's talk schools, because this week the principals got the big announcement, the memos.
Yeah,
they sat down with the CPS brass. You're getting cut.
Yeah. So my school, my son's elementary school got a $108,000 cut. And, you know, I actually talked to one of my friends who's on the local school council, and I said, so what's going to happen? And the word is that principals were told, do not touch special ed.
That's a lightning rod. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, fortunately, my school, I guess, had enough money lying around that they were able to just cut supplies. I have no idea how they had $108,000 of supplies.
Let me know.
So nobody's
How does this
fired.
Work? How does this work? Because this is the $100 million that
120
120 that they put. They just kind of said, we're going to cut this because the teacher's contract didn't happen.
Right.
This was the stuff that was announced last week. So it's a reality now.
You know, and they're saying it's because of the teacher's contract, but I think it's also partly because they didn't get enough cash from the bond issue. Remember, the bond issue was about $150 million less than they originally
wanted.
So
they need to balance it out.
So the schools, I mean, in the bond issue, the paper that they had put out had said that at the end of June, the school district was only going to have $33 million cash on hand. This is for an organization that's a $5.7 billion year budget to only have $33 million. That's like, you know, looking for a few pennies in your couch at home.
So most schools around that, I mean, I saw the grid that the, I think it was DNA Info or
yeah, they all had
they
it.
All had
Everybody
the grid
had
of all the different schools, and most were around $100,000. Mm-hmm. So do you think that most schools will be able to sort of cut around the edges, or do you see we'll see layoffs of teachers?
Maybe.
I mean, 100,000 is like one teacher, right? When you count
that's right.
benefits and the cost and everything,
right.
It's about 100,000.
Maybe. I think it's hard to say. Every school is different, and this is actually where the principal's management matters. There are actually some schools. Jones High School announced that they had a $400,000 rainy day fund, and so they're actually not going to be cutting anything. They could take it all out of the rainy day fund.
This is interesting, because this stems back to what Rahm Emanuel did when it came to organization of the public schools, where he said principals are in charge of their school. This was 2 years ago,
right.
Or whatever, right around the closing.
Which every principal will say is really not very true.
Yeah, true. But this in this case, I mean, they're using that and saying $100,000 off your show, you figure out what to do with it.
Right. And so great. They're empowered to do it. But, you know, this is another
thing.
They're
always empowered to do the bad stuff, right?
You're empowered to kick yourself in the face. And so this is the thing that really makes it a clear, bright line between schools that are in communities that have money and those that don't, which is that a lot of schools that are in communities that have money have these friends of nonprofit organizations that raise money. My son's school does. And you know, we give money to it because it's way cheaper to give a little bit of money to that than it is to go to a private school. And a lot of communities that you know have people of means do that. But then there are a vast majority of public schools in Chicago that vast majority don't have that backstop. And I think that that's what we're really going to be looking
at. I mean, if you look at it now,
we're going to hear those stories.
I'm assuming we will. And I'm fascinated only in how you cut a teacher or cut funding in February.
Right.
Because these kids have been in class.
Right.
You know, they're in third quarter. Yeah. I mean, how do you tomorrow say, well, you know what, I'm going to cut the third grade teacher?
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, I mean, you know, in schools that have, you know, so for instance, there in my again, use my own personal example, my son's school this year, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not his grade would have two classes or three.
Yeah, right.
And if it was two classes, there would be 33 kids in each class or 34. And if there were three, I can't do the math.
Right, right.
That's why he's in school and I'm not. But, you know, It's Common Core, right. What? And so, you know, I think that stuff is where you find those cuts. Or maybe you cut your reading teacher. You know, I don't know.
All right, last thought tonight. Let's talk about the Illinois primary March 15th. Obviously, you know, Illinois so far after Super Tuesday that it could be wrapped up, but there's more. Eric Zorn had a thought that was like, well, no, you know, after last night, Illinois is in play because you're now seeing no one's a front runner.
I think it's definitely for the Republican side, it definitely matters a lot. And, you know, I still am not ready to say that Donald Trump is going to be the leading candidate. You know, Pat Buchanan won two caucuses in Iowa and won New Hampshire in a blowout and came in second in Iowa when he ran. And then he basically got toasted afterwards. Bob Dole won every single state.
That's what might happen here.
Right. So, you know, I think that there's still a lot of things that can happen on the Republican side. On the Democrat side, I honestly think that things are a lot worse for Hillary Clinton than a lot of people are willing to admit. There's a lot of talk about how she has all the superdelegates locked up. But, hey, superdelegates can flip.
Yeah,
they didn't sign a piece of paper.
Let me ask you this real quick as we wrap up. What are the local races that are going to start making noise that we should be paying attention to? And I don't mean just state's attorney, but beyond that.
So for state rep on the near west side, Ken Duncan is running for his life, and he could really lose against Juliana Stratton. And I think that is going to be a heck of a race. I think that on both sides, they'll spend at least $500,000.
Wow.
So it could be a $1 million race for, you know, what's going to be 4,500, 5,000 votes. And then another race that's going to be interesting also on the west side is a state Senate race for Van Pelt.
Yeah, two former mayoral candidates.
Van Pelt, Patricia Van Pelt versus Bob Fioretti. I think that Bob is probably going to win just based on his name recognition.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think those are the big
things. He gets to go to Springfield. He gets to leave Chicago and go to Springfield.
He's got something to do. Right. You got to have something to do.
Mike Boucher is the man behind AlderTrack.com, which is free for the next 2 weeks.
Free, AlderTrack.com/free.
It's a subscription newsletter that covers all things Chicago politics and Springfield.
Yeah.
Mike, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you.